Let us pray. God of love, we are tempted by many things, many urges and voices and powers. Help us listen to you, trust you, and serve you. As we hear your word, we return to you. Help us always to return to you in the spirit and the company of Christ. Amen. A reading from Genesis. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you will die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of life. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the fourth chapter. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and nights, and afterward he was famished. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And Jesus said, "It is written, 'We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" So the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest pinnacle of the temple and said, "Throw yourself off, for it is written, 'God will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they will hold you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said, "It is also written, 'You shall not tempt Yahweh your God.'" Again, the tempter took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor and said, "I will give you all of this if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Get away from me, Satan. It is written, 'You shall serve Yahweh your God and God alone.'" And the devil left him. And suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Jesus did not go out into the desert to be tricked by some guy with horns. He went out there to face his own real temptations. And those temptations that Jesus had to wrestle with are things that we all have to wrestle with, as peculiar as it might sound for us to think that it would be tempting to try to turn rocks into food or to jump off a high building or to worship the devil. The root urges beneath all those things are urges that we all have to wrestle with because they're basic needs of our ego minds as human beings. We need to know that we're capable and durable and lovable. It's a basic human need to know that we're capable, that we have powers, that we can do some stuff, that we can have an influence in our environment, that we're not totally helpless and powerless. And that's a good thing. That's how we get things done. It becomes a temptation when we want that power to do things separate from God. When our own fears and desires take the place of God, then all those powers that we have serve only our own fears and desires. That's what's harmful. So I start wanting to use all of my powers to meet my own fears and desires. I cut myself off from God. Because God is really the source of our power. God is our only power. And if I start thinking that I can make the world the way I want it, I can just feed myself, I can turn these stones into bread, then I cut myself off from the miracle that is actually God who makes bread, not me. It's God who makes wheat grow, not me. And I get caught up in this illusion of my own power. In fact, when I do that, I start being completely contained by my illusion, and I start thinking of everything in the world according to my fears and desires. And it might seem kind of odd to look at rocks, not in terms of what they are, but in terms of, can they feed me? If not, can I turn them into something that feeds me? But think how we treat other people. Do I like you? Can I turn you into somebody that I like? So we get cut off not only from God, but from other people. We're unable to see them as they are and accept them as they are. We get cut off from reality and the ability to accept reality for what it is. Instead of always trying to turn it into something that it isn't, always having control over everything. It's a perfectly natural human instinct to want to know that we're going to survive and that we ought to. It's a good thing that we have an ego that defines this is who I am and that protects that and that wants to find a place of belonging in this world and that works out, so who am I and what am I worth? That's not bad. It's what keeps us from jumping in front of trains. But that becomes a temptation when we feel that separately from God. If I want to discover who I really am and think of that as a self-enclosed individual not connected with God, it becomes destructive of life. Because then I'm going to start asking the world who I am. And the world will lie. The world will tell you what you're worth according to how good you make the world feel. People will value you according to how much you meet their fears and desires. It's always going to happen. And then we're in this ever-spiraling need to survive. And it's not so tempting to want to throw ourselves off tall buildings, but it is tempting to want to be able to go through life without getting hurt. And so we'll do all that we can to avoid suffering and to make people happy so that they think that we're worth something. And we get tangled up in this spiral. And we get cut off from God, who is the one person who unconditionally will tell us who we really are. We are God's beloved. And it cuts us off from other people, because if I'm afraid of being hurt, then I can't love. Because the only way to love is to be willing to be hurt. That's what love is, the willingness to suffer for somebody else's sake. If Jesus had fallen prey to that temptation to pursue his own security separate from God, he never would have been able to go to the cross. just as if he had fallen prey to that temptation to exercise his power for his own desires and fears, he never would have been able to turn water into wine for others or to feed the 5,000. It's a perfectly natural instinct to want to belong, to know who we are. But when we let the world tell us, it will be a lie and we won't be who we really are. If Jesus had allowed himself to fall for that, not that it's tempting to worship the devil, it's tempting to have the world tell you what you're worth. And sometimes we need all the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor to tell us that. And you'll know by reading the headlines, for some, even that isn't enough. If Jesus had fallen for that temptation, he never would have been able to love us. He would have been too busy proving to himself who he was and what he was worth. So we all have these natural needs to be capable and durable and lovable. And they so easily slip into this obsession for power and security and belonging and identity separate from God. So how do we deal with that? That story of Adam and Eve in the garden. You notice that Eve saw what was good about the tree. That it was good and that it was helpful to make one wise. Those are good things. The problem is that then they could be like God and they wouldn't need God. So how do we overcome that? How do we deal with those temptations? In this Lenten season, our work is to repent and to face our temptations. And it's hard to just not do something. You need something to do to replace what you're not supposed to do. It's too easy to just say, well, then don't do that. So what should we do? I think what we do is practice our belovedness. Sometimes we think of our belovedness as sort of a status that we have or a kind of an abstract reality. God loves you, and that's sort of the end of it. But it's something we have to practice. We have to practice being God's beloved in our prayers. It's hard to do, to just center ourselves in God's love and meditate on this mystery that God loves us and just stay there. It's so easy to drift off and start thinking of other things and get wrapped up in our temptations of wanting power and security and identity apart from God. And that's okay, because our minds are made to wander. That's what's good about them. But in this prayer, sometimes what we need to do is to let our minds wander without us and come back, return to God, to our belovedness. Centering prayer is all about simply being mindful of God's love for us and coming back to that mystery moment after moment, thought after thought, letting go of our power and our security and even our identity and returning to God. We have to practice our belovedness in our relationships with other people. To be mindful when we're relating with other people that we are God's beloved. We don't have to be right. We're already God's beloved. We don't have to have the power to make them into people that we like. We don't need to find our identity by having them tell us who we are. We know and we trust who we are. We're God's beloved. And we can practice that belovedness by sharing it with them. We can practice our belovedness in our relationships with all the world. To continually, every moment of our days, remember this miracle and practice it. That's what Jesus had to do in the wilderness, to practice his belovedness and practice coming back to God. When we do that, when we return to God and continually practice our belovedness, it helps us let go of our grasping for power and security and identity apart from God. We can trust that we are capable, that we are lovable, that we will survive. And even beyond that, we then become bread for others who are hungry. We become light for people who are struggling in that same wilderness. Because everybody is struggling in that same wilderness. Everybody's trying to get to that point where they can trust that they are capable and durable and lovable. And there is great power in our powerlessness. There is utter security in the risk and the self-giving that we practice. There is our deepest identity in being God's. We do more than just overcome our temptations. We shine with the light of God. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your love. And we ask your help in letting go of all of our grasping for power and security, in practicing self-giving and trust. Help us to stay always mindful of your infinite love for us, and to practice our belovedness. God, we thank you for your love. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.